Matthew 13, verse 24. Matthew 13:24. Jesus presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and bore grain, then the tares became evident also. The slaves of the landowner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' And he said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The slave said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, for while you are gathering up the tares, you may uproot the wheat with them. Allow both to grow together until the harvest. In the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather up the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them up. Then, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Let's pray. Lord, you simplify. It's what we want to do, really, with your truth, is not to make it more complex. Some is because of the nature of it. But Lord, what a master teacher you are, and how you taught your disciples and those who heard. Very, very clear teaching. And yet, by using parables, Lord, some did not understand because it was not your purpose for them to understand, because you'd given them enough light already and they had rejected it. Well, I pray we would understand and continue to see the dynamic of what happens in the world that you have made, even though fallen, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The parables of the kingdom, which is what this in Matthew 13 is, it always talks about the kingdom of heaven is like this. And, of course, it's not heaven. It's earth. But it is ruled by heaven. It never becomes, although the devil is ruling in this world, God of this age, all of that, the whole world under the sway of the evil one. And when we see the evil in the world that's happening. But the kingdom of heaven is how things are transpiring under the rule of God, even in the time when things are not in the world the proper way. We see in the parables that it's not proper in the world in everything. In the first parable, the sower and the soil, some of the seed did not bring fruit. And it should never be the case, really. If a farmer sows seed, it should always bear fruit, but it doesn't. Some of it springs up in bad spots. Some of it gets eaten by birds. Some of it gets choked out or doesn't have enough of a foundation to it, a root system to it, and it doesn't work as it should, but then some does. So the world is depicted as not right. But what God has done and our Lord Jesus has done is salvage from the world, and salvage is probably not the best word, those who are redeemed. And he began, as I said this morning, that plan of redemption, spoke of it in Genesis chapter 3, and promised a Savior. Jesus would come, the seed of the woman. Many believe that Eve thought it was Seth who had come after that to fix everything, because she said, "I've gotten a man, even the Lord," she was thinking. But we know that the Lord Jesus set in motion in the garden after the fall to redeem mankind, and it would be a beginning, there would be the end. Matthew 13 tells us about the middle part. Things are happening in the middle. Seed is being sown and it is sprouting, and the soil makes a difference. And also in what we're seeing in this parable, the seed grows alongside tares. Being the experienced farmer that you know me to be, I would say that wheat and tares look very, very similar to each other. A tare is a nothing. Tares, just like, you know, as far as all fruit is concerned from it, it's a weed. It's just something that grows up there. It looks very similar. You see grass in the field, you know, wheat, grass, you know. If I pass a field and look out there, I don't know what that crop is, generally. Corn I can nail. I can see corn, I'm going, that's corn. But, you know, some of the other ones, beans and potatoes and things like that, I'd have to ask Mike what it was. But the time we live in, we find God is planting seed. And it is not iffy kind of seed. It is seed that is going to grow. It is guaranteed by the eternal counsel of God that redemption is going to take place. And during this middle time, there are people who are being redeemed from the world that take the seed. The seed produces. And as the Lord said, it produces in different ways, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold, but it is producing. I'd like to see more of it myself. There are times in church history where we see it more, but you know, it's certainly producing. It's producing seemingly more in other countries right now. I believe a lot of that has to do with the fact that the United States has essentially had the most light and rejected the most light of any nation on earth right now. Israel has done that, but Israel for some time has been in unbelief. Our country has had more of a Christian foundation from the beginning, and we have turned from that. We think that there are other bodies of authority that can do better, and the Bible is shut out. So we are in a land full of tares. If you pull the tares up in our land, in our country, you might pull up a few truckloads before you come across some wheat. It really is overwhelming these days. But there are more Christians than the media would have you believe. And so God's word is still bearing fruit. So when you plant here, and this is, again, our Lord Jesus saying what people know. Agricultural culture, planting is done, wheat grows, tares grow. Okay, I get the connection. So Jesus says that this is another way the kingdom of heaven is. This is the way the life is now under heaven. And it is, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. The issue here is not the soil. It's all, as far as this parable is concerned, it's all good soil. But for no good reason that we can discern, while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. I'm not, again, sure. I'm sure that this is broadcasting seed out into the field and mixing it in with what was sown with the wheat. There's mean, and there's just ornery mean. And this is a man who's even working to be mean. He's planting. It's hard work. He's making an effort at night to go out and mess up the field with tares. The enemy, of course, here, and we see that later on, it's explained. But we know from our study and familiarity with this parable that the enemy is the devil. The devil is just spiteful mean, because that's what he is. When people are mean and they're children of the devil because they're not in the kingdom of God, they're behaving like the devil. The Pharisees were like the devil. A lot of people are like the devil, breaking up the work of God, opposing the work of God, sowing tares among the wheat to make it confusing and to try to, you know, shut out the wheat from the nourishment. So Jesus is the one who sows the good seed. So the seed isn't the problem here as far as the wheat is concerned. The seed is a problem as far as the devil is concerned. I don't want to say that tares grow better than wheat. If it's as to the degree that it's like weeds, I guess we would say that. Seems like you can get weeds to grow anywhere. But the seed is good. The tare, as far as seed goes, it does what it's supposed to do. You have a world that very closely, in many cases, because we're all people and we have souls, looks a lot like each other. There are some who are very clearly evil and some who are just kind of blending in. That kind of works both ways, too. A lot of Christians are willing to kind of meld with the world. So when it comes up, they're mixed. And you really don't want that. You don't have to waste the field and the nourishment of the field and whatever the field puts to the wheat with tares all in there. But that's all you can do because they look alike. You can't look at someone and tell if they're a Christian or not by just looking at them. A lot of times a person claims to be a Christian who is a tare. And they go along for some time seeming to be a Christian. And turns out that they're a tare. That doesn't always resolve itself in this world. It waits until the judgment. We won't know until the judgment. We're told in Matthew 7 that when the judgment comes, there are people there who don't even think they're tares, and they are, who still believe they're of wheat, the grain of wheat, but they're not. So they grow together. Can't tell the difference. I think it's good if you can tell the difference. A lot of times, though, people mimic. The devil's an angel of light, and you just don't know. But this is what's going on in the middle. While God has promised and begun the work of redemption in Genesis, and when God finishes the work of redemption in Revelation, when he comes, in the middle, this is going on. And we see that the Lord is still sovereign in it, because he doesn't have to pull the tares up. Now, he can wait. He can wait until the harvest, which is exactly what he's doing. He is not, and I'd have to say it's different than what we would do. Would you, as king, have anything different in this country if you had the authority to change it? Is there anything you would change? And I mean yesterday. And I think we would all say, absolutely. I'd start today. I doubt you'd find me done by June if I could just make a decree every day. This and this and more than one. There's so many things. The Lord doesn't do that. Let them grow together. Let them go. There is that philosophy that is mentioned in Scripture. Paul mentions it in 1 Corinthians 15 about people who don't think there's a resurrection. And if there's no resurrection, then he said, our faith is vain. We believed in vain. We have no life after death. So, what we should do is eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Live it up now. And that is the way the tares live. The tares know, not necessarily consciously, that they're not going to be wheat. They're not going to be turned into any kind of wheat product. They're going to be gathered up and burned. So while they're in the field with the wheat, they're going to live it up as best they can. Eat and drink and be merry. I tell people that, actually. I say, you know, the Bible says that you don't believe, you'll be eternally in hell. That's, you might as well, if you refuse to believe, you might as well get as much enjoyment now as you can, because it's going to be done. Of course, my underhanded attempt in saying that is that somebody will say, well, no, wait a minute. You know, like when Andy was saying that he thought Otis Campbell was, Rafe Hollister was a brave man because he refused to get that shot I forget what it was even. By not having that shot, he was going to set an example for the whole county when he dies. And Rafe Hollister decided he was going to get the shot. That's what I'm kind of hoping to accomplish. But the wheat and tares grow together. You're not going to get a place where we're all wheat. I think there's a lot of places where there's a whole lot of tares and very, very, very little wheat. And there may be places there are no Christian witness at all. But tares are running all over the world. So he says, let them grow. Because the enemy has sown counterfeits in society, in the middle, that look similar. So the master there, the owner, says in verse 29, no, for while you're gathering up the tares, you may uproot the wheat with them, which is clearly the case. Allow both to grow together until the harvest. In the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first, gather up the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barn. That's what's happening now. God saves, and he leaves us right here with the tares. Tares spring up. He leaves them right in here with us. The Roman Catholic system would sometimes have the most serious religious zealots, the ones that were the most serious about the things of God in the Catholic system. They'd withdraw to a monastery. You'd have a bunch of men in monasteries, and women would go to nunneries, pull away from the world. That's that ascetic spirit, that doesn't work. Then you get a bunch of monks together in one place, cloistered together. That's not any good either, history would tell us. We grow together. You're here to help other people. You're here to see about, in this case, turning a tare into wheat. That is the Lord's mercy upon the tares. That's the middle part. People don't really live their lives consciously of an end part or of the beginning part, but the middle part, people are always thinking about. Jonathan Edwards made himself think about the time of death, to think about the end, so that you're sober about it. You're not taking for granted things that are of serious nature. But most people don't. Most people live today. Okay, live, and then you're done with the day. You get up another day. You're done with that day. And it's done. And it goes by quickly, doesn't it? And we're day to day and living among the wheat. And sometimes we're living among the tares. And sometimes the wheat is able to influence the tares. And sometimes, unfortunately, the tares pull down the wheat. So he said, let them both grow together. Now, they asked him, of course, verse 36, he left the crowds, went to the house, and his disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. And he said, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, which we knew. And the field is the world. And as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom. And the tares are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. That's perfect example of a parable. A parable has some connection to something else. In the parable, this represents this. This represents a spiritual truth. It's just a normal thing that happens, and it represents something that is a spiritual matter. So that's what he does. He lines that up there. We saw this morning in Genesis 3, Adam and Eve are created by God, placed in the garden, given all the delicacies of that garden, everything great, no sin, no sin nature. The work was pleasant, pleasurable, to be able to see the results of their labor. Everything was wonderful with them and God. They could fellowship with the Lord. The Lord would come and talk to them, as we saw him coming on that day after that day when they sinned. He would come and they would converse with the Lord, and it was absolutely wonderful. And then, of course, the devil comes into it. The devil is a tear sower. The devil wants to bring men down. The devil wants us to be in the same condition he's in, condemned to eternal destruction. He just being able to roam around in the world with the people of the world. And some demons are as well. So for now, his judgment has been postponed. So he comes and he sows tares. He misleads Eve. And Eve speaks to Adam. And so Adam is misled as well. And they fall. And now you've got every time a person is born into this world, they are born as a tear. And without that, every person born into the world would be born as wheat. You think that's a change? Every person. Cain and Abel were born. In the first two men we see born in the Bible after the fall, one of them is a murderer. He kills his brother. And as I mentioned this morning, by the time you get to chapter 12, when the Abrahamic covenant is offered and the plan of redemption is seen in the covenant with Abraham, you've got two complete failures among humans. The flood, before the flood, they were only evil continually. They were a bunch of tares. They were going together, and they just consumed the entire world with their taredom. We saw it later on in Genesis with Sodom and Gomorrah. They were wicked, wicked sinners before the Lord. And the Lord sent the angels to judge them. The whole place got consumed. Lot was even influenced as well. He was a little flaky as he in the first place. So the whole of Sodom and Gomorrah later on. But this, before chapter 12, you've got the whole world is destroyed in the flood. And then they build the Tower of Babel again to rebel against God and stay in one place, unite their hearts as a bunch of tares. And the Lord came and mixed that up, made the tares separate. Two instances already. This is the devil sowing tares. What a plan he had. What a fruit of it. Because by turning the first couple, he produced tares in every generation since. The Lord redeems, sows good seed among the in the field of the world, and we become believers, but tares are dominant. But that's what is happening now. This is why the things we talk about in Revelation are a reality that we need to talk about. Because to the churches in Revelation, they were being persecuted by tares. They were being shamed and ridiculed, and they were the world was seeking to get them to compromise so that they would be more like them, the tares. And they had to endure, they had to overcome, they had to hold on to their nature, which is, if they're truly saved, that is their nature. Unless you're saved, your nature is to be a tare. If you're saved, your nature is to be wheat, to bear fruit, to have actual value in the produce of your life, the fruit of the Spirit. So this is the setup in the middle. This is the setup for the end, to endure as your believers and to fear if you're tares. Because what are you going to do? You can't work your way from a tare to wheat. I doubt there's any possible way. Mike, you can tell us. I doubt there's any possible way that you plant corn and it actually comes up as corn. As it sits out in the field, it becomes watermelon. I bet that never happens. It's what it is. And the tares seek to make the wheat like them. Because we all look the same. How many people, when I went to the prisons, those guys were in prison for some reason. I didn't always find out what it was. But they were in there for some reason. It'd be a surprise to me if I ever found anybody in prison who wasn't a Christian. Because they were, they fell off somewhere. Some of them admitted. Some of them got saved. But the tares are leaning hard on the wheat. Jesus says, let them grow together. That's why we have to persevere. That's why we have to endure. That's why we have to overcome. Because it's not going to be, we're not going to have some relief until the end. But that's why Revelation then speaks to us, is that the end is coming. The Lord brings it to an end. So he says, verse 40, so just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness, and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What do you do with weeds? What do you do with just the tares of the fruit of the land? You just burn them. But now the wheat you save, it's worth something. So the Lord describes the tares as stumbling blocks. Means they're trying to get you to stumble and fall away from the Lord. Those who commit lawlessness, they're not conforming to what they look like. They're a creation of God, but they don't act like it. They're lawless. We live in a lawless age, as you know. And it is considered to be by our world freedom. The world considers lawlessness as freedom. And the world considers conformity to the law of God as bondage. And that all will be straightened out. So you see, that's what, when we consider the beginning and the end, there's also the middle. Now, you could read all these other parables of the kingdom. It's the same thing. This is what's happening during the time in the middle where God is redeeming from among the tares wheat, and will one day gather us into his barn. Most barns, that's not an appealing thought, to live in a barn. But of course, if you're wheat, that's where you end up. So he's just using it as an illustration or a figure of going to heaven. As Jesus says, then verse 43, the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. That's what's happening in the middle. Let's all stand. David, would you dismiss us?